Our lesson today is chapter 20 from the story. It is excerpts from Esther. And after Persia defeated the Babylonian Empire, some Jews began returning to Jerusalem, but others still remained in exile. This is the story of Esther, and it takes place around 460 BC. So in this story, listen for the providence of God, the wisdom of Mordecai, and the courage of Esther. Xerxes needed a new queen. Xerxes was a king of Persia. And he decreed that beautiful young women from around the kingdom should be brought to the palace and presented to him. Now there was in the citadel of Susa a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin named Mordecai, son of Jair, the son of Shemel, the son of Kish, who had been carried into exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, along with those taken captive with Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many young women were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Haggai. Esther also was taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of the harem. Esther had not revealed her nationality and family background because Mordecai had forbidden her to do so. Now, the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all his nobles and officials. He proclaimed a day throughout the provinces and distributed gifts with royal liberality. Mordecai sent a message to his niece, Queen Esther, asking her for help. Help with what? A little backstory here. The king had ordered all to bow down to honor Haman, who was second in command, and Mordecai, a Jew, refused to bow down to Haman. Haman was enraged and plotted to kill Mordecai and all the remaining Jews. Esther replied, back to the story, all the king's officials and people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court, without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do you think that because you are in the king's house, you alone and all the Jews will escape? For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? Then Esther sent her this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this was done, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. On the third day, Esther put on the royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on the royal throne in the hall facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half of the kingdom, it will be given you." "If it pleases the king," replied Esther, "let the king together with Haman come today to a banquet I have prepared for him." Xerxes and Haman enjoyed their dinner with Esther, and she asked them back the next night. Haman felt honored to be invited by the queen, and his pride grew. In the meantime, he continued to plot. He had a massive scaffold built on which to execute Mordecai. On Queen Esther's second dinner, King Xerxes asked her what she really wanted. Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people, for this is my request. For I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. If we have merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet. But no such distress could justify disturbing the king." Xerxes asked the queen, "Who is he? Where is the man who has dared to do such a thing?" And Esther said, "An adversary, an enemy, this vile Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. King Xerxes was enraged with Haman's deceit and ordered him killed on the same scaffold Haman had built to kill Mordecai. Mordecai became the second in command of the kingdom. The Jewish people were saved, and they celebrated the date of Hadar 13th each year as Purim, remembering how the providence of God, the wisdom of Mordecai, and the courage of Esther had saved them. To this day, Purim is celebrated in early March. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A bit more of Esther's story than we usually get to hear, but important to get all of those pieces. Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. The timeliness of this scripture is not lost on me. The part of the story before what Dale read today, the reading that begins with a woman who didn't listen to her husband and lost her head for it, is not lost on me. My heart is sad. As I continue to read through this book called The Story, this biblical chronological story of how people continue to take the lives of those who are different from them. My heart is sad. I'm sad to read the retaliation, the laws or edicts that are issued to clear out masses of people because of their culture, their history, or their religion. And it continued in this chapter today. We're in chapter 20. Chapter 20 of the story, and it's the story of Esther. It's titled The Queen of Beauty and Courage. Now, the book of Esther in the Bible is the only book, I believe, that lacks to mention God in any way. We hear about God's chosen people, but the name of the divine, the pause for worshiping or positioning their body in prayer is not mentioned. And yet this book became part of the canon that we hold today known as our Bible. We could debate why there's that exclusion of God, but we'll save that for another day. Because today we're looking at the story of Esther, the queen that saved her people from death by risking her own life. Esther was careful to consider how she could follow the rules of the king as she also petitioned for her life and for the life of her people. The story that Dale shared with us is found in the lectionary every 3 years, meaning we get to hear a portion of it in church every 3 years if we follow that lectionary. And that portion of the story is that Esther hears of trouble coming for her people, and she acts bravely and invites the king and his servant to have a feast. And Haman is killed on the pole that he intended to have Mordecai die on. It's the story of Esther, who dared to approach the king to change the law. It's a brief and powerful story of one that stands in the way of harm that may be caused to others. It's a glimpse of the heart of one that is in a position that would seem unlikely and unfathomable to many. How many of us will get to be the queen? Yeah, and especially with her background. It is but this tiny narrative that invites us to remember the memorable words of Mordecai to Esther. Many of you could even say them, right? For if you remain silent at such a time as this, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Those words have been grounding to many who have stood in the face of oncoming pain, destruction, or announced devastation. The responsibility of saving a whole people appears to fall on just one person in this story. And yet this is the story that's been left for us. The story of Esther, as she took the responsibility to speak up, to stand strong, and to risk losing her life so that others may be saved. It's the story of a hero. And the story that people try to rewrite when they write a hero's story. Our ancient text offers so many scripts for movies that could or have been made, which is awesome. But what does it offer to you this day as you seek to know God more fully? As you desire to understand your faith. This story where God does not intervene directly, but rather leaves us to tease out God's relationships and interactions, and perhaps offers us a chance to consider how God participates in our lives, even in a secular time, in a time when we don't have accounts of God still speaking, but with implicit understanding that God desires to be with God's people and God desires for God's people to have salvation. Maybe our daily struggle parallels Mordecai and Esther. Maybe we're asked to consider if we're acting in congruence with God. Are we doing what God has asked of us? Should we participate in the casting of lots and contests of life that put us in positions that might one day have power or influence? Or today, should we do with what appears the world is doing and go with the flow? Try to fit in. This is another story of justice being handed down to the streets from positions of power and action being taken in the court that has a great effect on people without an understanding of how or whom it might include. I would invite you into a longer discussion in a Bible study or a conversation about the time and timing of what this story of Esther means, the meaning of Esther to employ and carry out this request made of her. For today, I would like to share with you what I have heard in the text, a couple of key points. Here's what I heard. In the story of Esther, I hear that God is present always, whether we say the name of God out loud or not. I heard that even if it's not recorded, our attendance to our faith is necessary and should be a private charting or obedient act. If you need to make a gold star chart for how often you participate with God, it's okay, right? I hear the timing of this scripture very timely as we approach Ash Wednesday this week and the Matthew 6 text that's assigned every year at Ash Wednesday, where it says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. But practice your piety in private." I hear in this text a faith that sticks with us through world events, through a king's decrees, through times of fear, a faith that should empower and employ us to stand strong and to speak up for others. I hear that in Esther's text. And I hear an invitation to wrestle with our own understanding as to what God has called us to do. Perhaps there's been a moment for you, like Mordecai and Esther faced. Or maybe there's one to come. And either in your reflection, or when that happens, will you wonder if you too have come into your position for such a time as this? Dear friends, there is so much to study in the Bible. This year-long pass through the sacred text is so brief, and yet it gives us these glimpses into this complicated God that created us, that loves us, that desires to be with us and remain with us in relationship today as much as back then. What we can learn from these stories, what we can pass on in tradition, they can shape our faith. They can help us to have a deeper understanding of God if you let them. As we teach our children the scriptures, the songs, and the attributes of God, let us consider what we know and what is the source of our own faith. And if we're wavering in our understandings, or we're wobbling in our faith, or we're hesitant in our worship, then let's pray that God may provide us the stories of old or present day where God has indisputably been present. As you prepare to go out there again, to walk from this place out in the world, I pray that you will have a moment of clarity, maybe a breath of silence, or a movement of your heart that will affirm for you the power and presence of God. I pray that for you today and for each day, that you will have moments, both mundane or remarkable, where you may recognize the extraordinary power and presence of God. With God's help, may that be so. Amen.